Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome back to the Thai Expat Daily Show. I'm your host, Kira Mack, as always, and delighted you've been able to tune in with us yet again for another show. Now, before we do get into the top four stories trending here in Thailand, don't forget to give this video an old like. If you like the channel, please do subscribe and hit the old notification bell so YouTube will let you know when the next show is available. Now, if you like listening on a podcast player, don't forget to look down in the description where you'll find a link that takes you to all the available podcast players. And finally, if you like the show, if you want to support the show, if you'd like to buy me an old brew, you can do so by looking down in the description to buymeacoffee.com's link. And now that it's all done and dusted, let's jump into those stories that are doing the rounds here in Thailand. First story is coming out of the Bangkok Post. The Tourism Authority of Thailand homes in on Asian expatriate segment. The Tourism Authority of Thailand is eyeing Asian expatriates, including Chinese nationals residing in Laos and Cambodia, due to their increasing wealth and demand for sending their children to study in Thailand. The marketing director for TAT in Cambodia and Laos said Japanese, Korean and Chinese investors residing in Cambodia and Laos frequently cross the border into Thailand to buy quality products and services in the country, making them an attractive segment for Thai tourism. As people now have the China-Laos high-speed rail service as a new transportation option, Thailand should prepare to welcome more Chinese visitors who travel to northeastern Thailand via Vientiane in Laos, said Ms. Orenok. As well as Chinese citizens, she said Cambodia and Laos also both have the potential to promote the high-spending segment to visit Thailand, particularly people in employment who have benefited from an influx of foreign investment in their countries. She said most members of this segment had already visited Thailand more than once, were familiar with Thai culture and the country's tourism products. They perceived Thai tourism as being high quality with affordable prices. While 50% of Cambodian and Lao visitors sought to make trips to Thailand for leisure purposes, medical and health checkups were the two other reasons in the top three for paying a visit to the country. Roughly 20% of Lao visitors and 4.5% of Cambodian tourists were medical tourists. Many students from the two countries, which are considered to be part of the longer stay segment, also chose to study in Thai universities over other countries. Now, according to the TAT, Cambodian tourists spend around 40,500 baht per trip on average, with an average stay of more than 5 nights, while average spending among Lao visitors stood at 31,489 baht, with an average stay of 6 nights. Now, from January to May, Cambodian and Lao tourists tallied 229,000 and 330,000, respectively. Atitat Charitanan, Honorary Secretary General of the Association of Thai Travel Agents, said the government should consider a visa waiver scheme for Chinese tourists entering via certain land borders, such as Udan Thani from Laos and Cambodia, since demand already exists there. Mr. Adit said even tourists who just wish to take a day trip to Thailand still have to pay 2,000 baht for the visa on arrival. This cost prevented them from extending their visit and spending more money in the country. Mr. Adit said instead of applying the same rate, the government should allow them to spend 72 hours in Thailand without an additional charge. If this rule was implemented, tourism operators in these provinces are ready to prepare their products and services to help attract such Chinese visitors. So the TAT again, coming up with more ideas to try and attract different people. Now, I do note that there is going to be a change in the TAT governance in the next couple of months. A lady whose name I can't remember and not familiar with will be taking over from the previous governor. I note also that she has just come from the marketing department in the Tourism Authority of Thailand, where she's worked there for the last 15, 16 years. So no new blood coming into this organization, no new ideas. And really, it's the same old, just let's promote from within rather than let's try find people outside of this organization who should and would have better ideas on how to promote the country. Now, I was just looking through the Bangkok Post, and sometimes I like to read the different comments that you find in here. And there's one, though, that really struck a chord with me, and I think it's something that I'm going to read to you. Every day we read about Chinese criminal activities in Thailand. Kidnappings, online gambling, illegal drugs, thousands of illegal Chinese with Thai IDs, call center scams, bank fraud, zero baht tourism companies, and on and on. Yet the Tourism Authority of Thailand think this group is the best group to go after. Meanwhile, hundreds of thousands of honest expats have been here for many, many years and are not appreciated at all. 1 year visas, 90 day reports, even having to report if you travel around Thailand, and he end that with FFS. I think we know what that means. So this is something I was thinking about, this whole idea of they're trying to attract Chinese expats from other countries and other expats. I mean, why not focus on the expats here in the country? And what this guy who posted on the comment section, it really did strike a chord with me. I thought to myself, he's right. He or she, by the way, could be a she, are right. The Tourism Authority of Thailand seem to care very little about the expats that are living in this country. Expats who have money, by the way, who would happily spend it if there was deals and more deals for them if they were to go around the country. Remember we had that We Travel Together program where the government paid 40% of the room rate while the Thai citizen spent 60%. Now this was only for Thai citizens. But the question would have been, why not expats living here in the country? Why couldn't they avail of this as well? Especially expats who pay tax, by the way, who are working expats. And this seems to be always to fall down within these tourism associations, is they forget about the thousands upon thousands of expats, whether they're married or they are retired here, who have money to spend, but choose to spend it somewhere else because sometimes I think they just don't think they're appreciated enough in the country to spend their money there. Do some deals for them. Have special promotions for expats living here and see how you go then. If you're looking to generate more money, focus on the people that are in the country as well. And that would be something I would definitely propose to the Tat if they'd ever like to listen. But nevertheless, we'll move on to the next story. And of course, it's a bit of a tragic one. Elderly US couple dead in alleged Phuket suicide. Police are investigating the deaths of two US nationals believed to be the result of a suicide by lethal injection. The bodies were discovered on Thursday at a well-known hotel near Suron Beach on Phuket's west coast. Churntalay Police Station received a notification about the discovery of two deceased individuals at a Phuket hotel around 12:30 p.m. Police did not specify who found the foreigners or the circumstances surrounding the discovery. Upon arrival at the scene, officers found the bodies of two US nationals of South Korean origin lying side by side in a bed inside their hotel room. The room appeared to be in order, with no signs of invasion or violence. The man and woman, both in their 60s, were covered with their blankets as if sleeping. During the initial investigation, police collected several items of evidence from the room, including a used syringe and two medical bottles. Additionally, two letters were found on the table, both enclosed in white envelopes bearing the hotel's branding. One letter was addressed to the Thai government, that was the police, while the other was intended for the hotel itself. The second letter contained a request to contact the police, along with words of apology and gratitude for the hotel's hospitality. The bodies were transported to Vashira Hospital for a thorough medical examination and autopsy. Police believe that the man and woman who shared the same family name may have taken their own lives through lethal injection. A very sad story coming out of Phuket there. Two US citizens on holidays here in Phuket decided to take their own lives. Rest in peace to those people and condolences to their family and friends that they've left behind. Now moving along, and kind of a development, the whole election thing, but Phuthai may claim the Prime Minister's role. This is kind of some breaking news. So just to clarify about this, I think July 4th will be when the Speaker of the House has to be elected. And I think it's July 3rd is when they're going to the first meeting of the new Parliament will be called. So yes, things are going to start to get busy in the next couple of days in terms of politics, and we'll kind of get a feel for where this new government will end up and what exactly is going to be going on in the next few days. But the Move Forward Party will step aside and let Phuthai Party take the lead in forming the new government if its leader, Peter Lim Janarat, fails to get enough support from senators in a prime ministerial vote, according to Phuthai sources. In return, Phuthai will back down and let the MFP take the House speakership, as the House of Representatives will convene to select the new speaker and two deputies on Tuesday, the source said. The agreement was reached between key figures of the party on Thursday evening at Phuthai's headquarters. They included Phuthai's prime ministerial candidate Pethong Tarn Shinawatra and Saratha Thavisin, and the MFP deputy leader Sirikana Thanthakun. Under the agreement, Phuthai would not compete with the MFP for the House speakership and instead would take the position of the two deputy House speakers, the sources told the Bangkok Post. Phuthai would support Mr. Peter's bid for Prime Minister, but if Mr. Peter fails to get sufficient support from the senators, he must step aside and allow Phuthai to have its turn at forming a coalition government. The two parties would remain united, however, and the MFP must not pull out of the coalition and become the opposition, the source said. Without the MFP, which has 151 MPs, Pua Thai would have to forge an alliance with the outstanding coalition partners, which would likely spark demonstrations led by the MFP supporters and make life difficult for the new government, the sources said. The two parties have never made it clear whether the runner-up party, Pua Thai, should be allowed to take the lead in forming the government if the first place party, MFT, fails in its bids until they reach an agreement on Tuesday. Previously, many Pua Thai MPs had opposed the MFP, taking both the House speakership and the Prime Minister's position, the source said. We had to admit we were concerned that if Mr. Pita failed to get enough support from the senators, his supporters would take to the streets in protest, the source said. This is the first time the two parties had managed to clear the air after more than a month of being deadlocked, the source added. MFP Secretary General Chaitawat Tulathan said on Friday both parties would hold a formal discussion on Sunday to thrash out any remaining differences before attending a meeting of the eight prospective coalition parties on the same day. He said that so far both parties have not yet formally discussed issues related to the House speakership. We don't know where the report regarding the latest agreement between the two parties came from. We insist that we must wait for the outcome of formal talks between both parties. We hope things will turn out fine, he said. Mr. Chaitawat said he expected the 250 senators to vote for a prime ministerial candidate nominated by a party that can gather enough support from coalition partners to form a government. He also confirmed that after the two parties thrash out their differences over the House speakership, the next move is to discuss the post of prime minister. Mr. Pita said on Friday the talks with Pua Thai were making progress. I don't believe Pua Thai will lay down such conditions. There is only one scenario, as suggested by Mr. Sereta and Pua Thai leader Dr. Chon Lon. That is, we will move on together and I will become the next prime minister, Mr. Pita said. Mr. Sereta reaffirmed his support for Mr. Pita's bid to be for the premiership following reports of the pact. We adhere to the principles that the democracy side will stick together and work together. Asked to comment on the reports that Pua Thai would take the premiership if the MFP lacks enough votes from the senators, Mr. Sereta said such matters should be addressed by Pua Thai leader Dr. Chol Lan and Secretary General Prasert. On Thursday, the Secretariat of the House of Representatives asked all MPs to attend the first House session on July 4th when the selection of the House Speaker will take place. So that clarifies what I said, not July 3rd, but July 4th. So that's when the first meeting will take place in the House of Representatives and they will elect the Speaker of the House. Now, what seems to be going on here is maybe there's a little realization within the MFP that they might not get all the votes needed. But then again, will Pua Thai's candidates get all the votes needed as well? So let's say, for example, Pita didn't get his votes and they decided to put up Petung Taran Shinawatra. And I mean, is she going to get any more votes from the Senate than Pita would? I mean, it's a tricky situation. But then again, some of these senators are going to have to look at themselves a bit closer in the mirror and say, well, who are you going to vote for? Who's acceptable to you as prime minister from somebody who's not part of your institution as such, who's not, you know, who's on the pro-democracy side? It's an interesting question. I mean, they're going to have to vote for somebody. But if they keep voting against people and against candidates being proposed by the coalition government, then I think there's going to be some severe issues for this country. I did read an interesting article and kind of an opinion piece where a guy spoke about, well, some of these senators might actually vote for PETA because some of their term as senators is coming to an end soon. This 250 senators will be disbanded in the next year or so, and they will no longer be voting for the prime minister in the future. But some will have political aspirations beyond just sitting there in the Senate as junta-appointed senators, and that some of them may vote for PETA so that in the future, when they do go to run in an election, which is probably some of their aspirations, is that they will be able to say, well, I did vote for PETA and I followed democracy and I followed the will of the people. So we might see a surprise in the Senate too. I mean, who knows? But it seems very messy. And I mean, compared to a lot of countries you see around the world, this is just a minefield of things going on here. I mean, it's just very, very complicated. But I think by the end of, in the next week or two, we will see a firm vision of where this is going. I think the vote for the premiership, the prime ministerialship, will be around the 15th of July. So we're going to see what's going on. And very complicated. Nevertheless, we'll move on to the last story of the day and a little bit of follow-up on the woman who lost her leg on the escalator or the walkway at Don Mueang Airport. Suitcase wheel may have caused the walkway horror. the Engineering Institute of Thailand, has said a broken suitcase wheel might have caused an accident which resulted in a woman losing part of her leg after falling on one of the Don Mueang Airport's moving walkways. Boonpong Kichawanachai, advisor of the EIT's Mechanical Engineering Committee on Friday, gave an update on the airport's travelator system following the accident that occurred on Thursday. The EIT had assumed that the luggage wheel may have been stuck and broke the travelator's comb, which then fell under the platform and pried the platform open wide enough for the woman's leg to fall in. The sensor system remains functional, so the system was running normally while the incident happened, Mr. Boonpong said. However, investigations into the accident are ongoing, he noted. Mr. Boonpong said the automatic sliding travelator system had remained intact and received maintenance checks in line with standards. In addition, maintenance workers had been testing the system daily before the system was operated, he said. The EIT is urging people to be careful and avoid using a mobile phone while using both a travelator and an escalator, he said. But the EIT has also urged people not to panic about using travelators or escalators, as they are designed in line with the EN115 or European standard. Travelators are designed for flat surface use and can hold a total weight of 160 kilograms per panel, while an escalator can hold a weight of 75 kilograms per panel, he added. Meanwhile, Police Colonel Adarak, superintendent of Don Mueang Police Station, said investigators are questioning all related individuals while waiting for test results from Police Forensic Science. As part of that, police will also look into the outsourced company conducting the system maintenance service, he said. The injured woman is being treated in an ICU room at Bumrungrad International Hospital. A son of the injured woman said via Facebook that he was concerned about his mother's mental condition as she could not imagine living with only one leg. He thanked those people who expressed their concern over his mother's well-being. A team of psychiatrists have provided initial assistance to his mother, he also noted. Well, at least they seem to be investigating what happened here. I do note that Phuket International Airport have put out a statement saying that they have checked all their escalators and travelators and they're all working perfectly. So has Suvarnabhumi Airport. I guess everybody's now checking all these machines because people have become quite fearful of them. I saw a video, if you take up the panel at the end where these go down to, I mean, if you look at it, it looks very dangerous. I mean, obviously, that would never be exposed, the end panel, but they took it up to show you, like, if your leg were to fall in, what would happen, and it is very dangerous. So I hope they get to the bottom of what happened here, and I just hope it was maybe a freak accident or something, but I mean, of course, we'll probably hear more about it in the future, but nevertheless, that is it for today's folks. Thanks again for tuning in, as always, and we'll see you on Tuesday morning, bright and early. Have a great day, stay safe, and enjoy your day. But ultimately, with this story or anything else that stood out to you today, I'd love to know your thoughts in the comments down below. Because yes, this is a news show, but it's also a conversation. Now keep that conversation going. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel, share the video, and do all the good stuff that does help that YouTube algorithm. But ultimately, my name is Kieran Mack. You've been listening to the Thai Expat Daily Show, and we will see you next time.